Welcome to Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand. We're trying to figure out how to do this thing, the mom thing, the entrepreneur thing, while trying to turn all the lemons into lemonade.
And figuring out how to grow our own little lemonade stands we've started.
But metaphorically.
Metaphorically.
They get it.
I'm Shaylee Murphy, an interior designer and mom of one.
And I'm Katie Day, a photographer and mom of four. So, I win.
Do you?
Do I? Shaylee, can we role play for a second?
Yeah.
I want to go back to me before prep dish.
Okay, I'll be the kid, okay. Mom, okay. We're starving. What's for dinner?
I don't know. I cannot. My brain, it's 6 o'clock. I am done.
Yikes.
I am done.
Yikes.
Yeah, I know, but here's me after prep dish. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Mom, we're starving. What's for dinner?
Oh, hey, Angel. Why, tonight is coconut chicken with orange sauce and watermelon mint salad.
Wow, is it paleo? I'm watching my gluten and dairy.
Yes, it is, toddler. And guess what? I prepared it 3 days ago, and now I just have to put it in the oven.
Wow, Mom. That shows such great forethought. You seem like you're really in the driver's seat of your own life.
Thanks, 3-year-old. Now go back to sorting the recycling.
As I was.
Prep Dish is a healthy, subscription-based meal planning service, and when you sign up, you'll receive an email every week with a grocery list and instructions for your prepping your meals ahead of time. And after only 1 to 3 hours of prepping on the weekend, you'll have all of your meals ready for the entire week. The founder, Allison, is offering listeners a free 2-week trial to try it out. Check it out at prepdish.com/SK for this amazing deal. 2 weeks free!
2 weeks.
Come on! Let Prep Dish do the planning for you.
Guys, welcome back to Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand. We have some great content today, but before we get into that, we have to, of course, thank our amazing fake sponsor.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by
Cold Brew Coffee.
Cold Brew Coffee. So it's like iced coffee.
No, it's a dollar more.
Thanks, Cold Brew Coffee.
I do like it.
Yeah, I do like it.
I'm glad they're
I think it's different-ish.
They brew it cold.
So what are we talking about?
Okay. I watched a TED Talk.
Love it.
That has been in my brain for a long time, rattling around, and I'm excited to talk about it tonight. So it's a guy named Adam Grant.
Amy Grant?
Yeah, he sang Baby Baby.
I love that song.
Adam, though. It's
used
the
to think
version.
It said, Baby, baby, I'll stick your head in lotion.
Really?
It's not, though.
What are the words that sound
it's
like that?
It's not about lotion, I guess.
The stars are shining for you?
Something about...
I'll stick your head in lotion. Devotion?
Yeah, something about devotion,
okay.
I think.
Yeah, sorry. No babies were harmed in the making of this podcast.
And they were not well. Lotion.
So Adam Grant is a brilliant man, not Amy, and he's an organizational psychologist and wrote a book called Give and Take, as well as several others. There's some really great content on creativity as well, but I'm going to focus on givers and takers for this podcast.
Okay.
And then I want to have a conversation about it.
I'm so excited.
Okay, good.
First of all, what's an organizational psychologist? Because I love organizing and I love psychology.
Well, he's
and
like
I might
a
have
genius.
A new job.
We'll link the TED Talk if you guys want to hear more on this. And I would suggest you listen to it, Katie, and or read his book because he's one of those people you listen to and then you're like, he's a genius. And
everything makes sense now.
Can just take a little part of what he said and just marinate on it for about 6 months. So, which is what I did. So basically, breaking it down to simplify it, everyone falls into 3 categories. So there's givers, there's takers, and there's matchers. So what would you assume those 3 things mean just for fun?
Giver is like a people pleaser. You can walk all over me.
Mm-hmm.
Taker would be kind of like a more of like a narcissist, like, oh, I spot a weakness, so I'm gonna get in there and
take
all I can.
Okay.
And a matcher, I assume, would just kind of give to takers and take from givers, maybe.
Ooh, equally take and give.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
that's it's close. Okay, and we'll break down, it's even more complicated than that, but we'll start with the simple descriptions. You're pretty close. So takers are self-serving, and it's all about what can you do for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's similar to what you described. A giver isn't necessarily a pushover, but it's more about what can I do for you.
Aww.
Yeah.
Like abnegation, probably.
Yeah. It's just, totally like the 13-year-old novel.
I just read young adults. Younger cousin.
Your younger cousin read that one section out loud once on accident. But we all have moments of both, but figuring out what's our default. So I think that's kind of, that's a good way to start it.
Okay, we all have moments of both. But what's our default?
Yeah, and he calls it a style. He said everyone has a style.
Okay.
And so it's not have you ever done this or have you ever done that, but where do you fall most of the time?
Okay.
So that kind of helps because there's been times where like, I don't know, there's definitely been times that I've done both, but just kind of figuring out where do you fall in there? Okay. So paranoid people are created in the world because of takers.
Mm.
So basically they're always watching their back and they're worried that someone's coming to take advantage of them in life or like the workplace. And usually it's because it's happened before. So mm-hmm. now like their guard is up
mm-hmm.
and I've been there. Hopefully I've never caused anyone else to be there. But everyone knows those people where like they're just kind of waiting for the next chance to stab you in the back or like walk on your face to get ahead in life mm-hmm. or whatever. But this is where, so there's givers and takers. Those are kind of the top and bottom end of the spectrum. But most people are matchers. And this is, I do something for you if you do something for me.
I scratch your back, you scratch
mine. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. So as much as I would like to say, I'm a giver. Like, I'm a giver. I love genuinely helping other people, which I do. But I think if you looked at my life, and I don't know, maybe 5 years ago would be different than now, it'd be different than 2 years ago, but I think I identify a lot as a matcher just because of, I think maybe I was a giver, and then, like, somehow I changed over the years of, like, being in the world of life
mm-hmm.
to where now maybe I'm more of a matcher, where not in every instance, but it's always kind of like, oh, I need something from this person, so let me offer to do something for them. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, they're needing interior design help. Well, I like that thing that they're an artist, so let me see if they want to do a switcherooski, and they'll give me a free piece of art, and I'll do some interior design work for them.
Which, or, logically to me, that makes complete sense.
Yeah, and it's, I don't think that that's a matcher is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's just kind of a different thing. And so I don't think it's always bad, but it can be bad, I think, personally. Because then
you're like keeping track of debts.
Yeah. You're only doing something if you feel like you can get something in return and almost expecting it, where if you're genuinely doing something to help someone, it shouldn't always be expecting something back.
This is a little convicting.
I know. This is like
I feel like Jared and I are matchers in our marriage, both of us.
Mm-hmm,
okay, like, while you're changing the diaper, can you do this or whatever?
Jonathan and I do that a lot in our relationship as well. Or we'll be like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to put her to bed if you'll give her a bath.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's, again, fine
mm-hmm.
a lot of times. But how would it change our relationship if I genuinely was like, I'm going to give her a bath and put her to bed? Because guess what? I kind of like her. She's our daughter.
Right. And you know what? You go sit down.
You
go
put your feet up. Take
a break. I love you. I love everyone.
And then you know what he'd probably do? He'd probably go clean the whole kitchen.
Probably.
Because he'd be like, aw, I'm going to clean the whole kitchen and because I want to.
Because I love her.
Yes. Yes. And so I think people feed off of other people. So I think it kind of is fluid.
You're setting into motion
mm-hmm.
how people are going to respond to you.
Yes. And so I think that that's where they're saying that givers could be turned into matchers or takers, and some takers are really givers that were just burned one too many times.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever been like in a weird toxic
mm-hmm.
either personal relationship, friendship, business relationship where like all of a sudden you're so worked up, you can't stop thinking about something, you're talking about it to everyone, and then you're calling your mom like again to like rehash it, and then you're sitting there and all of a sudden you're like, everything I'm mad about, I'm doing right now. Oh, this isn't
mm-hmm.
a good place. I think that's kind of, there have been a few times in my life or even like, I mean, I just think of like catty high school, junior high friendship stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I went
straight to junior high.
You had a specific story?
No, I mean, just, yeah, I won't get specific. But
okay.
Yes.
What was her name? No,
nope.
Just kidding.
Nope.
Katie only had friends. No enemies, no frenemies.
All of my friends were takers, though.
Yeah, so, but that's the thing of, like, and I think that even in relationships,
that's not true.
Yeah, no, not all of my friends. I, though, had, I was a very appealing friend for takers.
Yes, in middle school.
In middle school.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I was a
giver. Well, no, I'll say now, we are appealing friends for takers. Not saying that we're never takers, but I would say most of the time, and I'm not saying we have friends that are takers or whatever, but I just think that takers look for takers look for someone they can take from, which is normally a giver, right? Which that doesn't last forever, but it can happen. So basically, Adam, he did a study to measure how different styles, so whatever, give or take or matcher, how well they performed. So in roles, like he's looking at careers mm-hmm. and professions. So he was looking at engineers, sales professional, people in medical school and like their grades. So he found that the worst performers from what he measured were givers.
In those fields?
In those,
all careers,
all of the ones that he studied, he specifically mentions engineers, sales, and medical school students.
I imagine you'd be a bad salesman if you're a giver by default.
Right. So, okay, that's
forget it.
Specifically, he said, I asked one giver, what's the cost of generosity in sales? And he said, I care so much about our customer, I don't want to sell them one of our bad products. Like, I don't want to sell them one of these pieces of junk.
Which is why I'm bad at sales.
Which is why I'm bad at sales. But it's bad at sales, but I love a salesperson that's like that. Who's like, I'm going to level with you.
Right.
This brand's not great.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be the brand that they're supposed to, like, their flagship brand mm-hmm. or whatever. That makes me want to buy from somebody so much more because it just puts me at ease and I don't feel... If I feel like someone's trying to sell me,
mm-hmm.
coming from a family who's been in sales and I've done outside sales, it just totally turns me off. I, like, shut down. And then I get... We were working, I won't even say what we were getting a bid on, but we were getting a bid on something and we had like a super old school salesman, like, I'm going to bid it before I leave in writing
mm-hmm.
that you don't get. And then I said, can I take a picture of the chicken scratch sheet? I didn't say chicken scratch, but I said, can I just take a picture of the bid that you wrote up? And he goes, here, I'll write the number down for you, and writes the total number on the back of his business card. And I was like, okay, so you're just throwing me a number. I don't have any way to compare.
Right.
I don't know what is broken down into what. There's nothing apples to apples to compare. And I don't know, just like corrected me a lot. And like from the beginning, I was like, I'm not interested in working with this person. And it makes me almost really, he was like, so do you want me to follow up or do you want to follow up with me? And I was like, I'll follow up with you. Which is totally out of character for me.
Right.
I'm just like, whatever. Yeah, if you want to call me that. And I was like, no, I'll call you if we're going to move forward with it. And because then I kind of put on my defense and I turn into... I don't know if that's a taker, but just more of a defense mechanism mm-hmm, kind of slides mm-hmm. up.
I got sold so hard in a furniture store once that I became like, I shut it down.
People?
And Jared's like, I've never seen you act like that to anyone. Like, you were not responding to his small talk. And I was like, I couldn't handle it.
Yeah, if Katie and I aren't responding to your small talk, run the other way.
There's something
wrong. Right, run the other. We're mad. That is one level before we put our hands on you.
He was like, how long have you been a photographer? And I was like, not long. And I was like, oh no.
About as long as this conversation's going to last. That's hilarious.
Let me browse!
Let me browse in peace. You don't think being a interior design major too, a lot of people I graduated with did their internships and or worked in furniture sales, but like, that's like a... People don't think... I mean, it's basically like a used car lot out there,
man, in the furniture world. Like a used car lot. I'm like, there's nothing you can say to me that's going to make me like this piece of furniture I don't like. I already don't like it.
Have you ever laid down on the bed in a furniture store? That's a mistake. We almost bought
a giver.
$6,000 mattress. Jonathan and I were laying on it, and I was like, why are we even entertaining? Like, why am I having to ask him what the interest would be? And they just kept saying, like, the payment would only be $187. I'm like, but how much are we paying? And how much more interest are we paying if we're doing the $187 payment every month forever? Anyway. And then I was like, we don't even want the mattress. Hold on. Wait. We don't want the mattress.
Why am I laying down?
We were in here for a love seat.
I literally just laid down and said, take.
Take. Not me. Take advantage of me. No.
Let me roll over.
Hold on. Sell me this bed. That's what we're saying if we lay down on the bed in a furniture store. It is a really weird thing that laying down on a bed in a furniture store is almost the equivalent.
I'll be the mattress.
Stop.
Lay on me.
Let me try this. Laying down on a mattress in a furniture store is almost the equivalent. Katie's laughing at herself so hard right now.
I'm not. We're going to cut it.
It's almost the equivalent of getting a massage in the middle of the mall. Okay. I don't know. I feel like people would appreciate that exchange. Okay. So where were we?
So you're giving it to, someone on a mattress.
Oh gosh, this is getting so bad. Okay, we're getting back to givers and takers. So givers sacrifice themselves, but this is where it takes a turn for the better. They make their organizations better. So organizations had better numbers and profit and customer satisfaction and customer retention when they had givers working there. So it's almost like they were the Apollo 13. Is that Apollo 13 or is it another mission? Does everyone die on Apollo 13?
Nobody dies.
Nobody dies. Tom Hanks made it. What's the one?
Spoiler! 1990.
If you haven't watched it, you're not going to. Sorry for all the hipsters listening. I just ruined your Friday night. It's a great movie. What was the movie where, like, he sacrifices himself, but, like, the mission makes it home?
Armageddon?
Armageddon, that's right. I'm about to sing it. It's that type of thing where it's like they're sacrificing themselves for the greater good of the organization, which as a business owner is like, oh my goodness, that's what you want. Like, that's who you want working for you.
Yeah, especially if you're a taker.
Yeah, well, you probably are if you own the business. I'm just kidding. We love business owners. We are them. Givers' numbers weren't as good as other people. They were on the bottom of the totem pole, which makes you think, well, yeah, because they're not good at their job. But the organizations actually had better number in profit, so they made more money, they had better customer satisfaction, and they had better customer retention when givers were part of the organization. So as a business owner, or even if you look at that like a friend group or a relationship, it's like, oh, because givers sacrifice themselves for the greater good and to make the whole better. So then it goes into, like, how do we build a culture where givers can succeed? Because it doesn't make sense. Like, that to me was when I was like, well, that doesn't make sense. So they have horrible numbers themselves, but the organization overall is doing better. Is it just because the takers are, like, sucking the life out of them and then, like, killing
it?
Yeah,
that's not fair.
No, but then takers rise quickly. I've seen this 100 times. But fall quickly. Mm. So you ever see, like, that guy that's, like, working his way to the top? And, like, everyone hates him, but somehow the boss doesn't know. Or, like, you know, if you watch The Bachelor, there's the girl who gets the first impression rose, and all the girls don't like her. Not that I watch it. I know how it works. Maybe I watch it. But they get to the top, and maybe they're the favorite quickly, but then also they tend to crash and burn because that's not sustainable forever. If you're just taking and climbing on everyone's backs to get everywhere. So.
Can I steal you for a second?
Yeah.
Bachelor lingo.
Okay, silly. I was like, yeah, where are we going? I'm doing a podcast. Can you give me 5 minutes? Oh my gosh. Can I steal you for a second?
Real quick.
No.
We just sat down. Just real quick.
Can I have like 30 seconds? I'll give you
You're
30 seconds.
You're a taker and I'm a giver, so sure.
And then I'm like, does she have no say in this?
She just watches.
You're just being quiet. Are the producers like, you do not say a word. You let it unfold. So matchers, which may be where I fall. They want tit for tat, so what goes around comes around. So in every job or organization, he found out after doing the same research, but with looking at who did the best and who did the worst, he found out the givers actually did the best as well.
Okay.
So the givers made up the bottom and the top of the success meter. So it's like half of the givers were doing horrible, but the other half were the top of their company. So it wasn't that the takers were doing great and the givers were doing horrible. The givers made up both ends of the spectrum. So
results inconclusive.
The results inconclusive. They're everywhere. No, there's, I don't know. I feel like it's pretty, a giver, I don't know. I think they're pretty rare. I could name them, but I think matchers are, well, they're the most, they're the majority. So anyway, of every success metric is the way he puts it. They make up the lowest part and the top. So then the question becomes, he starts digging into how do we create a world where givers have more success? So as a business consultant or someone who's looking into this in the business world, it's like, well, clearly we know the solution. So how do we work backwards and get there? So givers are the most valuable people, but if you're not careful, they'll burn out. I feel like Giver Shaylee has been there where
That's when the Giver Shaylee became a
matcher. That's when she became a matcher. And I was like, what's in it for me? But a good example of that would be like, let's say I babysat for like terrible children. If you're listening and I babysat for your kids, I'm not talking about yours.
Vanessa.
Vanessa. All of the kids. But I babysat for a few people where their kids were, like, awful. And it was, like, and they never gave me time to, like, plan ahead. And I always felt like they were, and then, you know, you'd go and they'd be like, can you stay a couple hours later? Is that cool? Or whatever. I don't know. And then I would just think, like, I would get myself into the situation where I was, like, the best thing that had ever happened to them. And I was dying inside, so then I would never want to go back. And then all of a sudden, one day, I just drop off the face of the earth. And they would never know why. And they would be like, I don't understand. We had such a good thing going. But it was only a good thing for them, because I was the babysitter who was giving, which I was like a child. I was probably like 14. But they didn't realize, maybe, but they were taking from me in a way that it wasn't mutually beneficial. So one of the solutions for not burning out as a giver is something called the 5-minute favor, which I love this. So givers burn out because I was the one saying yes to everything. So it's really not their fault. Like, they just kept asking for things I kept saying yes to. So basically they started something called the 5-minute favor that was like, find a small way to add a large value to someone else's life. And you have 5 minutes. So that could be giving someone an introduction, which honestly, I feel like I do. So not to say, like, I'm a giver, I'm this amazing person, but I like to, like, connect people with other people who maybe know, like, oh, you need a job and they're looking for someone, or you do this and they might need that, or you're looking to get into this business. Yeah, you know? Commuter?
Computer.
Oh, a computer. Yeah, Katie might buy my husband's computer. Look at us. Look, I'm just connecting 5-minute favors. But, or recognition. So it could be taking 5 minutes to just be like, I really appreciate you. You're really good at that, Katie. Be like, you are good at your job, and I appreciate you, and thank you for being my friend. And here are more than just, thanks for being my friend, but it's like with like 9 emojis, which is a me move. But it's more like, I'm going to think through it for 5 solid minutes, which is a long time if you think about it, for 5 minutes. And you write something out that's, like, meaningful. Like, that could change someone's day or week or year. You don't know. Or even mentorship. So giving someone 5 minutes of your time, or being like, yeah, call me if you have a question. And then they do call you and you sit for 5 to 10 minutes and talk to them. That's, like, a way of setting a boundary as a giver to not get burnout, but then also being able to add into other people's lives. So I loved the 5-minute favor, but also another way to set up givers for success is creating a culture where help seeking is the norm. So basically with successful givers, they see it as it's okay to receive and ask for help when they need to. So like, looking at like healthcare hospitals, floors that had a nurse specifically where her job was only to help other nurses.
Oh, wow.
They did exceedingly better because it was created, like the culture was created where it's okay to ask for help. In fact, Suzanne here,
that's her whole
job. Her whole job is just to help you when you need it. You ask away. And Suzanne's like, I'm here to help. And then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, cool. We're allowed to not know everything and ask for help. Because Suzanne's here.
And if we don't ask Suzanne, she's out of the job.
We're giving to Suzanne by letting her give to us. But basically, if they don't have that.
Help me.
Help me. Help me. Help you. But nurses or floors that didn't have that, people weren't asking for help. So you might have givers that didn't feel like they could ask for anything. Or an environment in which no one felt like they could receive or ask. And then the whole unit
burns out.
Does worse, yeah, and doesn't produce as good of results. So people need to ask for help. And I think that's even like teachers creating an environment where people can ask questions, and even like, oh, my poor CPA, like he's so great at letting me ask questions. And just, I don't know, I think that if culture in general allowed people to not feel dumb asking questions. Even if it's like, I'm an interior designer and I'm in Lowe's and I don't know what that thing on the fan is called. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know every piece of every furniture, installation, fixture, whatever. I shouldn't know everything about a toilet. I don't do, you know, bathrooms and plumbing all the time, full time. So I think being able to not make people feel like dumb for asking for help is big, but then also just knowing that you can ask for help. And if someone makes you feel weird about it, then that's kind of on them. Like, you should be able to create an environment. Were you a question asker in school?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Our teachers probably hated
us. I took the Gretchen Rubin thing that our past guests are.
Oh, uh-huh.
I'm a questioner. I'm like a questioner. The researcher. I want to know the why behind everything. I want to know, like,
oh, yeah.
every detail.
Yeah. So do you feel like you, is there ever a situation where you don't feel?
I would say probably past me.
Yeah.
Listeners, something happens when you turn 30.
A lot of things happen.
But, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe it wasn't 30. Maybe it was, like, number 3 kids. I don't know. I don't know what number, but, like.
Whichever one comes first.
I don't care that much anymore. Like, it's nice to be liked.
Yeah.
But I feel like if I don't understand something and I ask a question to understand it.
You're like,
and,
I'm just.
And someone shuts me down. I'm like, what a sad person.
I'm sorry for you.
Like, I don't walk away being like, I'm dumb for not knowing. I think, well, that's very strange behavior on their part.
Yeah. And it's something that, like, could have made you cry when you were
right.
younger.
Yes.
I feel like something shifted, too, with, like, even friendships. Like, I think probably sophomore year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I just quit, like, caring. I don't know if I've talked about that.
Yeah, there was, like, maybe a freedom moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where I was like, I don't care.
I can just say
if
no,
everyone has a sleepover and they don't invite me because I'm cool here.
Mm-hmm.
And I might rather be doing that mm-hmm. than driving all my friends around. And so, yeah.
Because the drugs!
Because I wasn't doing anything wrong.
Not that they were, but legally they were.
But legally, the law. The law said they were. Like, police officers would have agreed with me because I was right.
I'm not saying one of us is right or wrong, but it just the police agrees with one of us.
If there was a winner, I would have won. Officer. So, the school security guard named his daughter Shaylee. Have I told you that before? Because I was such a rule follower. Anyway, I hope that Shaylee's a rule follower too. Officer, school officer.
Shaylee, if you're listening.
Shaylee,
if you're sober for a moment.
She is still probably little. She's probably like 12.
I said what I said.
I said what I said. I don't know. Creating a culture where. And it's not caring. That sounds bad. It's not caring, but it's not overly caring about stuff that's not that important in the grand scheme of things, I think.
As far as, like,
just the friend thing or mm-hmm. even, like, the question thing. Like, I don't know. So what if the weird person that you're asking a question to thinks you're weird?
Here's the thing. It's not... We can double-click on this in another episode, but it's not like a... I give no cuss word... It's not like, I don't care what anyone has to say anymore. It's not that at all. I think there's a maturation process that happens.
Wait, what?
Maturing,
what's that word? Oh, maturation.
Where you go from thinking like, I'm bad because I got a bad reaction.
Mm.
You pause and you kind of go, that was kind of a strange reaction. Not like they're bad. But it's maybe not a reflective, maybe it's not a judgment on me. It could be it could be completely that person's deal.
Yeah.
So I feel like middle school me was like, oh no, what do I need to change about myself to get a better reaction next time? And
yeah.
then adult mature me is like, that person's being kind of weird about this.
Yeah. I feel like I'm good. I've thought about it. And that's fine.
What I said was fine.
The reaction was weird.
And their reaction was weird. So maybe I don't need to change me in this instance.
And if they go away saying the same thing, then hopefully you don't run into each other again. But yeah, no, I think that's good. I think that it pegs it right. And so, okay, so getting back to the outline, this is what is important. So creating a culture where help seeking is the norm. Okay. So then the third thing is getting the right people on your team. So this was interesting. So team, I'm applying this. We're talking about work team and hiring people as a business owner. But even looking at like your team of friends, your team of collaborators on a creative project, this applies to everything. But you shouldn't only hire or focus on hiring the givers. So in my mind, I'm like, let's just look at a whole bunch of people. Get as many givers in this friend circle as we can get to really, like, notch it up to the next level. Or on the work team, let's just hire some givers and get them in here to really boost our productivity. But he said a taker's negative impact is 2 to 3 times the positive impact of a giver. So the negative impact of a taker is, like, 2 to 3 times the impact of one giver. And all the givers will stop helping if there's one taker on the team because now everyone's watching their back.
Okay, so it's bad to have a taker at all.
Like, one taker can spoil the whole bunch, essentially. And if you've ever worked with someone who's like the stir the pot person, mm-hmm. or who's kind of like just in there, I don't know, like the one bad apple can ruin the bunch. I think it's like, that type of thing.
Don't ever employ a taker if you can help it?
I mean, yeah.
Really?
You weed them out. And depending on the size of the business and, you know, whether you... I mean, I don't know if you can legally fire on grounds of it's I think you're a taker. I listened to a TED Talk, a podcast about a TED Talk. And I've decided that you're a taker. You're fired. And they're like, but I'm pregnant. I just told you I'm pregnant. Don't worry about it. You're a taker.
I'm not firing you.
Taking time away from this business on your maternity leave. No. So I don't know if it's possible to I don't know. But I think that there's parts of the personality. So basically he's just saying instead of focusing on only hiring givers, you need to assess where you're at. Because I mean, and honestly, one negative person in a work environment, it does. Everyone's watching their back, everyone's second guessing, they're mm-hmm. gossiping about things to other people, and they're just kind of like trying to climb on the backs of everyone to get, I mean, it can change the whole dynamic. And the givers stop helping. I feel like times in my life, there's times in my life where I feel like I've identified as a giver, and there's times where I feel like I've identified as a matcher. I've totally probably been a taker at times.
Yeah.
I'll blame it on other takers because I was just trying to match what they were doing. As a matcher? No. But I think that they like all clam up and then it brings out like it literally brings out the worst in me. Like it makes me something that I'm not naturally mm-hmm. as like a defense mechanism.
Hmm.
So I think that's kind of more what it's saying too. So what is effective, keeping the wrong people out is
more important.
The key.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then the givers will give and the matchers will be at ease and follow the norm. Mm-hmm. So if matchers are matching...
We're all giving? Okay.
Right. Okay, you're giving to me, so I'm going to give to you. So, like, matchers become givers. Mm-hmm. It's basically, like, a giver will bring the best out of a matcher, and a taker will bring the worst out of a matcher.
And, mm-hmm. and the world is most populous with matchers.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. So it's basically, like, get the good apples in,
and everybody
weed the bad there. Apples out. Okay.
Beautiful.
How do we find a taker?
I feel like
there's lasers. You'll know. There's lasers involved.
I feel like you'll know soon.
Okay. You'll know, but wait, it's more complicated than that. Okay. So this is where, okay. So don't assume all agreeable people are givers. And don't assume that disagreeable people are takers. So agreeable and disagreeable are only your outer veneer.
Oh my goodness. So we're all frauds.
We're all frauds. No, well, some of them are easily identifiable.
Okay.
There's like the, oh yeah, of course. And the, oh yeah, of course. Like, of course you're a giver. You're literally trying to give me something and then walk away with nothing in return again. Like, it's almost mm-hmm. annoying. And then the takers, you know, the people who are like disagreeable or whatever, that you're like, they're a horrible person. Of course they're a taker. So there are, I feel like, the obvious ones. But it doesn't necessarily mean it. So agreeable givers, this is like the, of course they're a giver. So an agreeable, it's like in a square, little square chart.
Yes.
So I won't describe it to you because it's a podcast. But basically, agreeable givers say yes to everything.
Okay.
So that would be like the ultimate, Shaylee and Katie have no backbone, people pleaser, will do anything, mm-hmm. walk all over me. Sure, I'll buy the $6,000 mattress because I feel bad for the salesman. Even though we're not looking for one, we'll put it in the guest room and be broke.
Right.
It's not necessarily a healthy place. Right. Right. A disagreeable taker are easy to spot because they're horrible people. But that would be like the villain where like they're not pleasant to be around and they're taking from everyone all the time. You're a horrible person taker. And they'd probably be like, yeah, I am. So what? Give me $20. Okay. So the hard ones to spot are the disagreeable giver.
Hmm.
Okay. So they're the ones that are rough on the outside, but still give. So like that teacher that maybe gave you a D, but it's because he cared about you and he really wanted you to like make it in life and he'll spend 2 hours with you after class. So maybe he called you out for talking and made you cry in the bathroom, but Oh, it's really because he cares about your future. Aww. And you see him 20. You know what I'm, you know,
those
what I'm
make
about?
Good like characters in movies where at the end you're like, oh
yeah.
And he was actually my favorite professor.
I just didn't know it at the time for like 10 years. and they're the ones that they'll give critical feedback that nobody wants to hear, but everyone needs to hear.
Ooh.
So they're the ones in the meeting where everyone like has this flow going and they say something and you're like, don't burst our balloon. Like, don't burst our bubble. We had a thing going. But then when you really start thinking about it, like, the next day, you're like,
maybe you're
they
right.
They maybe had a point. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's, those are both, so that's, the disagreeable giver is the first one hard to spot. Then the agreeable taker, also known as the faker, are the hard ones to spot. So they're the people who are super nice to your face. And then they stab you in the back. Mm. Everyone has a middle school friend in mind right now, I'm sure. Because we were all figuring out our emotions. Maybe we were the backstabbers in middle school. Who knows? So the agreeable taker are the ones that you want to worry about. So they're the ones in the movie. They're the ones in the space movie that you think is a good person the whole time. And then they, like, go back to Earth and leave the whole group on the planet to die or something. And they're like, see you later, guys. You thought I was nice, but I'm in this for myself. Because I was nice to you, so you weren't watching your back.
Space movie coming to a theater near you.
It's going to be a mix of all the space movies over the last 20 years in Shaylee's brain.
I actually love space movies.
I love space movies, too.
So much.
I was going to name... I actually said space movie generically.
Sure. Interstellar.
Amazing.
Apollo 13. Ever heard of it?
Yes. IMAX.
Yeah.
I don't know if Apollo 13 had IMAX out yet. But I actually didn't want to, I didn't want to be too specific with the name of the movie because I didn't want to ruin a more current movie for anyone.
Passengers.
Yeah.
So on board.
Okay. So the best way to find these people in a job interview, find these people, the agreeable takers. They're the scary ones you got to watch out for. I would say job interview, it'd be harder to slip this question into a friend assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Take with it what you will. So... he said in a job interview, the best way to ask and find out who an agreeable taker is to ask, hey, who are four people whose careers you fundamentally improved? And he said, takers will always be the people that come with the list of four people who are more established in their careers than the person who's in the interview. Because they kiss up and they kick down. So they don't associate with anyone who can't get them somewhere. So if you ask them, or like, I guess you could be like, who are your four favorite friends to spend time with? And all of them are just like these like local celebrities or like famous people. Yeah. But it's not even like, it's even a step above name dropping, but it's like, oh, they don't associate with anyone they can't get something from. And you could also do that by like, I don't know, watching them. And also you can learn a lot about watching a person by how they treat their restaurant server or Uber driver is what he says. Like someone that they're not going to get anything from. So you think, hey, if they're, and that's one thing, Katie, I'll use you as an example. Like you would like stay and have like an 8 minute chat with a grocery lady with your four kids in the car. If there's no one behind you, if you feel like she's having a bad day or something, to where it's situations like that, where you're like, you're not. Chances are she's not like a secret millionaire that's working at the shopping center.
But you never know.
Yeah, you know, you gotta be nice to all of them just in case. But you know, it's not like you think, and then maybe one day she's gonna come and write me a check for $100,000 because I was nice to her that one time. No, there's nothing in it for you except losing. You're giving your time. You're giving away time with your kids. Your kids are doing whatever, and you're investing in someone just to be nice to them and show them that you care about them when there's nothing in it for you. So that's kind of how to weed out if you're looking for, like, you know, a disagreeable taker is easy to spot, but an agreeable taker that you may not want to associate with. Yeah, they're the kind of the toxic friends that maybe are trying to, like, hang out with you because they want to meet the other person that you know. And then once they, like, meet the other person you know, then they never talk to you again or whatever.
Regina George in Mean Girls.
Regina George, guys.
That's
Regina George.
That's the ugliest effing sweater I've ever seen. That was right when the person walks away.
What? No, I'm just kidding. Yes, really nice to their face. Stab them in the back. Exactly. Why didn't we just Mean Girl reference this whole thing? That'd be easy.
Who's the giver? Gretchen? I thought I could wear hoop earrings.
Yes.
Yeah. I was wrong.
Then I was wrong.
I wasn't allowed to wear hoop earrings ever again. And then she doesn't.
This has been...
And she burns out.
Katie Day quotes Mean Girl. That's good.
Who's the matcher?
Katie.
Caddy.
So, okay. What processing so far? That's kind of a good conversation point.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, very applicable to a person in management who's going to hire people.
Yes.
Harder to figure out how to apply it to, like, getting toxic people out of your life. But I kind of like where you're going with that.
Okay, so
more observation, I guess.
Yeah. Yes. So you can't fire your friends as cleanly as you can fire someone. I don't know. Nowadays, though, I know it might be easier.
Swipe left.
To get rid of a friend. You literally just unfriend them. And then you're done. Right? Mm-hmm. You just hope they see it through
all the... if you guys want to reference how to get a toxic person out of your life, go listen back to Madison Headland's episode where she talks about how they just float right out.
And they just float right out.
Because of your positivity.
Yeah, that's a... Yeah, they can't handle it. Mm-hmm. It's like salt on the slug. Not that I ever killed like, slugs.
Shaylee, just for fun, like name four top toxic people that come to mind right now. Just kidding.
Catherine Day.
No.
KDD. K-Did.
These are all my hip-hop names.
These are all her hip-hop names.
The artist formerly known as KDD.
KD. It's just a K and a D, but it stands for Katie Day.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Katie.
Don't think I haven't already gone there.
Oh, she's gone there.
In my mind.
Katie is in a couple rap videos, though. Mm-hmm. We'll link them sometime.
Which you can technically, just Google her. I wish my initials were KT, because my name's actually Katie and not Katie.
Oh,
I get it. Phonetically sounds the same.
There's nothing you can do, rapper, with my name. It's just Shaylee.
Oh, challenge accepted.
My cheerleading coach called me Shay Dog.
Done.
Okay.
Special Shay.
I don't know where that came from. Special Shay. Special Shay might be the best one. We named a group at Student Council Camp Special K and didn't know that it was like, I mean, maybe half the people knew. I guess the people who came up with it knew. I didn't know. And I was like, Special K! Special K! And they're like, that's a code name for drugs.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think it's cocaine. Special K. She starts with C.
The cereal with the tiny bits of chocolate is cocaine up top.
Apparently, student council sponsors thought differently. Okay, so wrapping it up, and then we can kind of debrief. So make sure it's safe to ask for help to protect givers from burnout. This is work scenario. Success is not about winning a competition. It's about contribution, which I feel like this could be applied in... friendships and or creative projects and or business. Mm-hmm. The most meaning way for people to succeed is by helping others succeed. That's kind of Sunday school, like old proverbs there. So helping create a world to where givers become the norm is going to create what is the opposite of paranoia, which is what everyone is when they're paranoid, basically when there's a bunch of takers away. And he calls it, this is his coined term, is pronoia. It's the delusional belief that other people are plotting for your well-being and that they are going around behind your back saying exceptionally nice things about you.
I love that so much.
Yeah, so that's kind of how it ends, but it's trying to create a culture to where it's the norm, whether it's like your little ecosystem of life and friendships, which is kind of where... I went with it even, or if you're in a position of hiring and or working, if you're just working at a place, recognizing it can be a big deal and just knowing how to navigate it, even if you're not the one necessarily hiring or firing. And if you do own a business, that can apply to clients that you take and it can apply to collaborators and people that you're, you know, your subcontractors that you're working with on certain projects, if it's a big one. And then obviously just in your marriages for married people or boyfriend-girlfriend relationships and then friendships. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like it applies to everywhere in my life. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Are you a taker, Katie?
Taking it all in. I like to take as much information as I can get my hands on.
Yeah, well, I'm just giving it to you.
Oh my gosh. What a match.
We high-fived 2 times in this episode. Sorry, everybody.
You can cut that other one.
Okay.
It wasn't a great joke.
Katie, are you plotting behind my back for my well-being?
I think I'm plotting in front of your face.
You are. You're in front of my face.
I truly want you to be very well. Truly, I mean that.
But how nice, like, the thought of, like, thinking when I leave
assuming
a room,
the best out of
they're probably people. Saying nice things about me.
I know.
And assuming the best out of people. I don't know. It's a good thought.
And then also do that.
To other people.
Yes.
Right. I mean, if you're sitting and listening to this, not to be like, and these people are horrible, but if you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't give time to people who I can't get something from. Or, like, climb up a rung on the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care about my Uber driver. And I don't, like, you know that. And that's half the battle. So, like, if you can acknowledge it, then, like, you can be different and slide down to a matcher or a giver. And I think that's the whole thing, is that it's not like you're that forever. It's just kind of like if we all can just realize it and see the benefits and pros and cons of all of it, then let's just work to where if everyone was a little bit nicer and a little bit more giving, then it, you know, like somebody did the pay it forward in the coffee line drive through, and I was like, I'm going to get the person behind me. Wait, what'd they order? No. But, you know, and then it's like the pay it forward thing, I guess, where it's like, and then they're making me be a good person. That felt good for me. And I wouldn't have done that if they wouldn't have bought my coffee first.
All right, Shaylee, I'm going to see if you can apply what you learned right after the break.
Shaylee, I had this blissful little grovy moment the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I opened up my old school 1963 medicine cabinet in my old school 1963 fixer-upper house. And all lined up inside were these gorgeous little white, crisp, clean little pretty packaging of all my Grove products all in a row.
Mm.
And I just took a deep breath and I thought, sure, the house has a long way to go. Sure, the wiring and the plumbing, like, doesn't work and the shower drain clogged again. But look at these pretty packaging! For this moment, I am happy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a true story. Sometimes a little pretty packaging and, like, natural, non-toxic products are all it takes. The house could be, like, burning down, but you're just, like, washing your hand with some Mrs. Meyer's soap, and it's okay. It's okay.
It got dark. I can picture it. Grove Collaborative makes it easy to find amazing natural home and personal care products. They select only the best non-toxic products so you can shop with confidence knowing everything on their site is good for you.
And as a listener, when you sign up for Grove Collaborative, you'll receive a $30 Mrs. Meyer's kit plus a bonus gift and a 2-month VIP membership. Just go to grove.co/sk. That's grove.co/sk. Because Grove makes it easy to have a happy, healthy home.
Okay, for our segment today, we're going to play a game called Reviewer Reviews.
Yay!
We just got a new review, Shaylee.
Oh, we did. I haven't read it yet.
My goodness. So I'm going to read the review, and then we're going to review the reviewer.
Oh, I'm okay. Excited. I'm excited.
It's called Reviewer Reviews. Okay. This one is from Wildflower Woven.
Ooh, okay.
She says, you need Shaylee and Katie in your life. 5 stars. One star.
I like her already.
Okay. This is my number one go-to podcast. Shaylee and Katie are hilarious, practical, and so encouraging.
Oh, stop.
I am a high school teacher and not even a mom yet, but I eat up everything they say about parenting or working from home. Also, I love their episodes about organization and their encouragement for me to do the thing. I opened an Etsy shop this year because of them.
Oh,
Shaylee and Katie, I feel like you're my besties and I love you back. Winky face.
We are your best friends.
Wildflower Woven, thank you for that review.
We're going to find her now,
and
like
we
stalkers.
We are going to find you
and
give you a review.
Her. And it may not be 5 stars, guys. This is we're not matchers here. I'm excited. Okay,
Wildflower Woven. Her name is Carolina Adkins.
Oh, I know her! I love her!
Biased.
It's my sister-in-law's, one of her best friends, and we were in the same wedding.
So we're going to review her products, her Instagram feed, and then just her physical body.
Right.
Okay.
Because that's what we ask of
people. Let's start with the Instagram feed. Okay. Wildflower Woven, very well curated. I like how she has, like, she's cropped in to the detail of her weavings, and then cropped out. Mm-hmm. She's shown materials. She's shown the whole process. Finished product. Beginning. End. Very well done. There's a consistent color palette. Really good Instagram feed. And you know what else? I like that every time I scroll, I can actually see her in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
important for a mm-hmm. maker because we want to see who's making it.
Well,
and speaking
face.
Of who's making it, Hottie!
She's real cute. Her personality is even cuter.
I can't vouch for her personality. but it looks like she's got one because she's smiling.
Yeah, she's really fun.
Great face, great hair,
good technique.
And her products look great, and they look like they're pretty affordable.
Yeah.
And that is my official five-star reviewer
review.
So thanks, reviewer.
Thank you. When you review us,
we'll review you.
Maybe review you.
Because we're a matcher.
Because we match. Or we can just start finding people we think might listen and review them unsolicited, but I don't think that'd work the same.
Let's do it.
Okay.
It's called stalking.
Guys, be givers this week. Not takers.
Go out there and give, give, give until you break.
Until you break and then just want to give up. And if you're going to be a taker, just be a disagreeable one so we all know what we're in for.
Don't be manipulative.
Don't try to act like something different. It'll just make everything easier in life. So, pronoia. To pronoia. Pronoia? I don't know the word.
Paranoia.
Paranoia.
Pronoia.
To pronoia.
It's going to catch on. It's going to be a thing.
To pronoia.
Totally.
We made that word up, Adam. We did.
Don't stick your baby in lotion. Baby, baby, I'm taken with the notion.
To love you, devotion.
To love you with the sweetest of devotion.
Love you with the sweetest of devotion.
And ever since the day you put my heart in lotion, that's what it was.
Oh.
And ever since the day you put my heart in lotion,
you moisturized me
in my internal organs. So she wrote this study, huh? Amy Grant. Wow.
Adam Grant. No, Adam
wow.
Grant sung
Amy
this
Grant.
Song.
Amazing. Okay.
Adam Grant sung the song.
Amy Grant did this. She's the organizational psychologist.
Right. We okay. want to give credit where credit's
okay.
due.
Okay. Just to clarify, in case anyone's listening, all jokes aside, Amy Grant is the person who did this study.
Right. And Adam's the woman who sings the song.
Got it. And dips babies in lotion. Next week, we have Star White from Well Fiber, who's going to school us and educate us on sustainable clothing, fast fashion, and how we can start taking steps toward a more responsible closet.
I'm scared.
You should be. Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you so much for listening. We love hearing from you guys on Instagram, email, especially our favorite place of all, iTunes reviews.
Guys, we love reviews and they help other people hear about the podcast, and we actually read every single one.
We read them and we squeal and we screenshot them.
Then
and
we maybe text we text
about
them
it.
To
it's
each
weird,
other.
But anyway, we appreciate you guys and thank you so much for sharing the podcast on social media.
If you want to reach out, you can contact us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com or find us at shayleeandkatie.com.
We could not do this without you. And we love you.
We love you. We're in love with you.
Too soon?